All right. Well, hey, if you have your Bible, would you please turn to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 6. And I want to talk tonight with you for just a few minutes about the gift that keeps on giving. You know, that's a phrase that often is used in advertising. You know, they talk about the gift that keeps on giving, and sometimes, you know, they'll use that maybe to advertise photographs. You know, the idea that a picture, you know, a good picture just kind of can put a smile on your face, and it's that gift that keeps on giving. It puts a smile on your face every single time that you hear it. In fact, I have a favorite picture of my wife and I. It's just one of my all-time favorites, and I'm going to show it to you in just a moment, but I just want to preface by saying it's never, ever a good idea to put a picture of your wife on the big screen, but she wasn't here last service, so I did that, and last service was like we ran out of seats, but I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to do it, because I love this picture. It was taken at one of our Sunday night beach baptisms, and it was taken on an iPhone after, but go ahead and put it up there. And this is a great picture. I mean, you know, I love that picture. You can take it down now. But, you know, our hair's all curly. We're tan. I just, you know, whenever we are getting asked to go speak at, you know, some marriage event and they want us to send a picture, I'm always like, let's send that one. And Denise always reminds me. She says, no, we can't send that one because we don't look like that anymore. And it's true. We don't look like that anymore. In fact, I know what I'm getting for Christmas tomorrow. It's the same thing that I've got for the last 10 years. Every Christmas, I get older and fatter. That's what happens at Christmas time. In fact, there was a Christmas not too long ago where my wife says to me, she goes, oh, I've got something for Christmas that you're just going to love. And, you know, you're going to use it all the time. I'm like, oh, really? What is it? You know, I'm so excited. I opened up the next day and it was one of those nose and ear hair trimmers. You see, the older you get, that's what happens is, you know, you start to get hair growing in weird places. And So a picture, as nice as photos are, you know, pictures really are not the gift that keeps on giving, because we don't look like that anymore, right? We get older, and that's what happens. And how about this one? This could be something like, oh, this is the gift that keeps on giving. How about a brand new car? You know, would you like that? Nice car with a bow on it and like, oh yeah, that would be awesome. I get to drive that all over the place. But the problem with cars is that, you know, then you have to take it to the gas station and you got to fill it up, and gas prices are a lot, you know, they're getting more expensive. And then your car eventually is going to break down and you got to take it to the mechanic. And so the thing that you thought was going to be the gift that keeps on giving ends up be the gift that ends up taking, right? It's taking money out of your wallet. How many of you know what I'm talking about when it comes to cars, right? So another gift that maybe would be, you know, a gift that keeps on giving would be a dog. That'd be nice. We got a dog. This is our dog. This is Reddington. And he's wearing a nice little kind of Christmas jacket somebody in the church made him. And we love our dog. But the problem with dogs is that, you know, they need dog food, right? So they, you know, they eat. And then after they eat, they go and they have their little droppings, right? And then you have to go and pick that up. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, not the gift that, I guess you could say it's a gift that keeps on giving, but it's not giving what you want, right? And Denise is actually training our dog to pick up after himself. We have a picture of that. you can take that off now. But what about an annual pass to Disneyland? Could that be the gift that keeps on giving? I mean, so, yeah, that'd be awesome. But problem with Disneyland, as fun as it is, I mean, the average person will spend $50 to $200 on each trip. It's $16 to park. So again, the gift that keeps on giving is the gift that ends up taking. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the real gift that keeps on giving, and it's the gift that God gave 2,000 years ago when he sent his son to this earth, to be born as a baby. Think about that. Jesus leaving heaven, coming to this earth, born as a baby, laid in the manger. And when Jesus came, he came to solve man's deepest and longest problem, sin. I asked you to turn to Romans chapter 6, and I want to draw your attention to verse 23. Paul the Apostle puts it like this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. You see, that's what sin did. Sin brought death. And when the Bible talks about death, it's talking about the biblical definition is to be separated from God. That's what death is. That's what happened, you see, in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. After they ate of the forbidden fruit and they rebelled against God, there was a death that took place. The death that happened was in their relationship with God. Suddenly, Adam and God, who used to walk in the garden together, that relationship was cut off because a holy God couldn't now have relationship with man who had sinned and who had broken his command and had broken his will. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And when you die in that state of sin, that's what it means to be eternally dead, is eternally separated from God. Now, we're all sinners. We sin because we're sinners. It's part of our nature. It's part of what we were born with as human beings. It's why, you know, whenever you're walking along and you see the wall that has been freshly painted and it says wet paint, do not touch. And what do? You reach out and, you know, oh, it really is wet, you know. And why do we do that? It's ingrained in us. There's something in us that just is prone to rebellion. We're not sinners, listen, because we do bad things. We do bad things because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we find ourselves at times. The very things that we don't want to do, we end up doing. And the things that we don't want to do are the things that we end up, or the things that we do want to do, we don't do. It's because we're sinners. And Paul says here in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. That's what it brings. It brings pain. It brings misery. It brings guilt. That's what sin does. But notice the second half of that verse. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. That's what Jesus came to bring. The baby that was born 2,000 years ago, that the shepherds announced at his birth, that the Savior had come to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But that baby that was born in the manger over 2,000 years ago was born to die. I've said this before, you see, that if Jesus just was born and grew up and lived and did some miracles and did some teaching and you know, multiplied the fish and multiplied the loaves, and that's all that he did, and he didn't die, then all of this is for nothing. He's just a good guy. He's just a wise prophet. You see, in order to meet man's deepest and longest need, Jesus, the baby that was born, had to grow to a man so that he could go to a cross and die on the cross for our sins, and then 3 days later, rise again from the dead to give us life. And Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving, because when you put your faith and your trust in what he did on Calvary for you, this is what he brings. He brings right standing with God. Turn one page over to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul puts it this way: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified means declared righteous. You see, that's how God sees you, and that's how God sees me in Christ. It's not that he says, okay, you're guilty in your sin, but I'm going to just let you off. I'm just going to kind of ignore it. I'm going to just pardon it. No, but that doesn't help us at all. We're still guilty. We're still full of sin. He does something greater than that. What he does is he declares you righteous. And here's how he does that. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible declares that all of our sin was transferred to him. The sin of every single one of us, of every single human being, was transferred to God's Son upon the cross. And when we put our faith in Jesus, here's what happens. All of his righteousness is transferred to us. It's what Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, when he says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus took our sin upon himself there at the cross, so that you and I, who were dead in our trespasses and sins, could be forgiven. And the very righteousness of Jesus placed upon our lives. Isn't that glorious? So that when God looks at you now, he sees you, not in your sin. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he doesn't see you in your sin, but he sees you now in his Son. Jesus faced separation from his Father in the here and now so that we would know the Father's acceptance now and for all of eternity. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. We're justified. But notice what else Paul says. He says, and we have peace with God. Our sin made us the enemies of God, and we showed that in the way that we lived our lives in rebellion against him and doing what we wanted to do instead of what God wanted us to do. But when we come into a right standing with God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible declares that we now are at peace with God. And when the angels declared there on that first Christmas morning to the shepherds that a Savior has been born and peace on earth, goodwill towards men, they weren't talking about the end of wars. They were talking about the biggest, that we now could have a relationship with God, that we could know him. So Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because he brings forgiveness and he brings us to a place of being justified, made right with God. That doesn't mean we don't still sin. We do. And what do when we sin? Well, we don't have to get saved again. We do what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, when he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that glorious? You confess your sin, and Jesus, he forgives it. He removes it. So Jesus, he's the gift that keeps on giving, not only because he gives us a right standing with God, not only because he gives us peace with God, because he removes our guilt and he continues to forgive our sin, but Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because he also gives us strength for today. You see, we live in a world that is filled with problems. Life is hard. And a lot of times it doesn't get any easier when you become a Christian, especially because we live in a world that is becoming more and more antagonistic against Jesus. But here's what the Lord wants us to understand. He's got us covered. It's John chapter 16, verse 33, when Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." But then he said this, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Being a Christian doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be problem-free. No, we live in a world that because it's been plagued by sin and because it's full of sinners, it's full of problems and it's full of tribulation. Christian marriages, I mean, they still fight. Christians lose their jobs. Christians get sick. Christians get cancer. In this world, Jesus said, there is tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer. And here's why. I have overcome the world. He's saying, I've got you and I'm with you. In fact, if your problem is too big for you, it's just the right size for God. He loves us to come to that place where it's like, God, I don't know what to do. And he's like, great, I know exactly what to do. Give that to me. And even as we live in this world that is growing more and more antagonistic against Jesus, God's word reminds us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me hear you say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what Jesus says to us. Hey, I'm in you. I've placed my spirit in you. I've come to reside in your heart. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to believe that, church. We need to grab a hold of that. In fact, when your perspective is preloaded with the word of God, the lies of this world lose their power over your life. And we need to preload our lives with God's word. We need to preload our lives in our minds and our hearts with passages like Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where Paul the Apostle declares that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. In fact, Paul would go on to say the same power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave is available to you and to me. We need to preload our lives with passages like Philippians 4:19, where it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see a pattern there? It's in Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's by Jesus. You see, what we all need is Jesus. And all that we need is Jesus. He's the answer for all the situations, all the troubles, all the heartaches that we go through is we need to come to him. So Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because he provides freedom from the past. God says, you're justified, you're declared righteous, sins forgiven and forgotten, guilt removed. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because he gives us strength for the day. And Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving because he also gives us hope for tomorrow. It's the verse that we all know. It's probably one of the first ones that we learned. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's what's ours. That's the promise that God gives to those that put their faith in him. Everlasting life. It's the idea, I say it to you all the time, that later is longer. You see, here's the thing. The Bible declares that when a Christian dies, when somebody has put their faith in Jesus dies, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We go to heaven. And Paul said that heaven was this place that was so amazing and so incredible. It was indescribable that no human words could even describe it. So any of the movies that you've seen with Christians sitting on clouds and playing harps, that's not what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be so much grander than that. It's indescribable. It's amazing. But here's the thing. For those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, heaven's not the end all for us. We need to understand that. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to come back one day. And all of us who are there in heaven, we're going to come back with him. And he's going to set up a kingdom here on this earth. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to rule with him. We're going to be a part of that. We're going to have jobs to do in his kingdom. And then after that 1,000 years is up, it's a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, that's everlasting life. That's eternity. And it's a long time, folks. It makes our lives here look like a blink. You see, there's really only two choices that we have. All of us. It's either everlasting life or it's eternal death. Eternally dying. Living in a place being continually separated from God for all of eternity. past the 1,000 years and on and on and on. Are you talking about hell on Christmas, Pastor Rob? I am, because it's a real place and real people go there. But that's why Jesus came. That's why he left heaven, came to the earth, became a baby. It was so he could grow into a man and go to a cross where he would die in your place and take the punishment that you and I deserved. And then 3 days later, rise again from the dead and declare that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that anybody that would believe in him, that he would come into their heart and come into their life, and he would give their life. And then they would have that hope of eternal life. So Jesus, he's the gift that keeps on giving, because he gives us freedom from our past. You know, some of us, we have a tendency to get so hung up on our past. And I think, you know, we need to learn to forget, to not live in the past, to not hang on to the things that God has chosen to forget. And we hang on to that. We let ourselves be defined by that. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus is that gift that keeps on giving, because he's given us by his Spirit living in our hearts strength for today. And he's the gift that keeps on giving, because he gives us hope for tomorrow. You know, Paul the Apostle sums up the Christmas story really in this way in Galatians 4. I'll close with this. He says, when the fullness of time had come, so in other words, when it was just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Another passage says, born of a virgin, because Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He wasn't born with that sin gene like us. He wasn't that descendant of Abraham. He was impregnated. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. He was the perfect man so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, for this reason, to redeem, to rescue those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That means daddy. So when you give your life to Jesus Christ, here's what happened. God's Spirit comes inside of you, and every single day, he's seeking to pull you into intimacy with God. He's crying out, Abba, Daddy. He gives us the right. He makes us his sons. We go from being his enemies to now being his sons and his daughters. He says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's what he's given to us. But you know what? Gifts are of no use unless they are accepted and put to use. And God offers to anyone here today, anyone here tonight who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he offers you that gift of life by just you putting your faith and trust in his son. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you're here tonight and you've never, ever embraced what Jesus did on the cross for you, I want to encourage you today. God's knocking on the door of your heart. He places his son before you and says, will you believe? Now, for any of you here that are Christians, I want to encourage you today. You see, the strength, Jesus, he's the gift that keeps on giving. He gives us strength for the day. But do we use it? Are we walking in the strength that he gives us? I want to encourage you. If you haven't been, if you've allowed your life to just be, you know, plagued by your flesh or addictions, or just allowing yourself to just be, you know, to just sink down into the mire of you know, depression. Listen, Jesus, he's come that we might have life and that more abundantly. And he gives us strength every single day to walk with him. So use that, Christian. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for the gift that you have given to us in your son. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's anybody here that hasn't opened up their heart to receive that gift, that they would do that right now. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you want tonight for God to declare you're righteous, your sins forgiven, forgotten, totally removed, you have a chance tonight for God to say, I'm going to make you clean. I'm taking all your sin and it was put on my son, and I'm going to put all of his righteousness on you, so that's how I'm going to see you now, covered in the blood and the righteousness of my son. If you're here tonight and you desire for God to do that for you, and you want to begin a relationship with God, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to acknowledge that by lifting up your hand. I want to pray for you. But maybe you're here tonight and you at one time have professed Jesus, but you've walked away from him. I don't mean you've had a bad week. I'm talking about you've been living in rebellion. You've been doing your own thing. You've been just living for yourself. And you want that to stop tonight. And you want to begin to walk with Jesus, and you want to walk in the strength and the power that he supplies. If you're in either one of those places tonight, I'd like you just to lift up your hand. I want to pray for you right now as you just would say, I want to open my heart to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you guys. God sees you. God bless you. God bless you. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for these men, these women, these kids tonight that right now are raising their hand. And Lord, I pray that you would come into them, that you would do a work in them. That, Lord, they this evening would experience you forgiving and cleansing. That they would know tonight by just placing their faith in you that they can leave this place to this evening a new man, a new woman. If you raised your hand, I'd like you just right now in the quietness of your heart to repeat this prayer after me and mean it with all your heart. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And so I ask you tonight to come into my heart and make it your home. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says when one person turns their heart to the Lord, that all of heaven rejoices. So right now, they're rejoicing for you guys. It's awesome. And I want you to know that you haven't. It's cool. I want you to know that you haven't, you know, joined a religion. You haven't joined a church. What you've done is you've entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what many of us here have done. And our desire as a church is we want to help you grow in that relationship. And so as we close tonight, I'm going to be up front with you. And I'd love to meet any of you. We have a gift that we'd love to give you. Any of you that prayed with me tonight, I just would love to meet with you, give you a gift, share a couple things I think will really just, you know, help you in following through and walking with the Lord. But you know, for the rest of us, how many of you like Christmas lights? I like Christmas lights. And I like Christmas trees. In fact, tomorrow, if you want to join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock, we're going to have our Christmas service. And the title of the message tomorrow is A Tale of Two Trees. And you know, the first Christmas tree was a cross that Jesus, the light of the world, hung on. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But Jesus didn't just declare that he was the light of the world, but he said to you and I, he says, you're the light of the world. And I want you guys to go into the world and I want you to shine as lights for me as you allow me to just shine through you to the people around you that are living in darkness. And one of the things that we love to do on our Christmas Eve services is we like to end with a candle lighting. And so you should have received a candle when you walked in. And as the band begins to play, men are going to come down and they're going to light the candle. And as they light the candle, just pass it along, you know, and just light the person next to you. And we'll just go all the way around the room. And then once it gets lit, hold it up high as we just consider. And just we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I want you. I want to be a light for you in 2017. I want to shine for Jesus. Let's make that our prayer. Let's go for it.